You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
My home near downtown was partially destroyed during Hurricane Sally. We lived with the damage for well over half a year, I think closer to a year, waiting for the insurance company and the contractors to get the ball rolling. In that time, the damages grew worse from going unaddressed. Mold spread, and then when repairs finally began, my family, including my two young children, were temporarily displaced. We were told it would take about a month, but ultimately we were displaced for over 6 months, facing homelessness during the course of the repairs because the damage was revealed to be much more extensive than originally assessed, and also much more extensive than insurance would pay for. We quickly ran out of funds for temporary housing, and we were still paying our mortgage. So we're working class people. Sometimes we've struggled to survive in the city. So it was a very difficult time for us to be paying that mortgage and not even have a roof to put over our heads and to try to provide stability for our children. In fact, we actually ultimately had to sell that house at a loss and start over because we never did get it repaired to the degree that was necessary.
This was probably the most poignant moment in the whole conversation about the CDBG block grant funding that had been intended to go to help Sally victims and get their homes repaired. But it actually wound up, you know, the mayor's suggestion proposal, which ultimately got voted down or at least got tabled, was to move that money into repairing damage that had been done at the port, particularly to some of the rail and some of the grounds there, parking and so forth, and roads. And Sarah Brummett, who is the leader of the socialists, she may not be the head of the organization, but she's the most vocal of them. She and her husband often show up, and they call themselves socialists, so I'm not telling you anything she wouldn't say. I thought this was particularly interesting because a lot of times, you know, you want to understand where people are coming from and why they are who they are. I get why frustration over something like this would have turned you into a socialist. I don't know if she started before this or if this particular incident, but, you know, people become atheists because their parents die and God doesn't answer their prayers. People become socialists because a storm destroys their house and they feel like the government lets them down. I that doesn't make the decision the right decision, but it's sort of understandable psychologically. And she says,
"It saddens me to learn that there could have been a program here to help me and families like mine access critical funds for necessary repairs. And it angers me that these funds, making sure that these funds were taken advantage of and distributed, was not a priority to this city."
Well, there's a bit of a fact dispute here. You know, did the city not care about fixing these houses, and is that why the money was going to be moved into something else, which it still has not been? Or is it that there were a whole bunch of other circumstances that are, it's more convenient for somebody who views themselves as a victim of the failure to style it as indifference? And, you know, I take the former view, she takes the latter view.
"It stands in stark contrast to what is a priority to this city, projects like redeveloping Baptist, reimagining Palo Fox Street, and so on. Those projects have been given endless time and endless resources and endless attention. Y'all are moving heaven and earth right now to salvage the contract with Bayou District Consulting. You're running a PR campaign in the media. You're trying to have backdoor meetings orchestrated with Bayou District consulting people. But this city needs to get its priorities straight. Y'all actually need to move heaven and earth to serve the people that you were elected to serve, not the wealthy elites."
So serve me, not them. Help my house, not projects that help lots and lots of people. Difference of opinion here. And that is, there are other projects that have been problematic since Sally that have had nothing happen to them whatsoever. The park, Wayside Park, still sits destroyed since Sally due to a lot of things. At this moment, the pier is being rebuilt, but it has also sat the damage to the water facility over off Palafox, the harbor. That hasn't, you know, the need to remedy that dramatically has not changed. I mean, you're not the only case of something taking an awful long time. So to make it seem as though it's the wealthy versus the individuals, no, there's a lot of things that haven't happened because, you know, governments move slowly when it comes to this stuff. Charles Baer, District 2, the most outspoken, generally, if there is one, you know, other side of the conversation on city council.
Citizens were impacted negatively by a natural disaster. We accepted funds to help them. After making no attempt to do so, we are now using these funds for another purpose. While it is legal, it isn't what's best for our citizens. I will not be supporting this bait and switch. Yet again, I'm embarrassed to be a council member who voted to help the citizens of our city only to see the city fail to follow through on its commitment and reroute these funds to another location. So I agree. It's hard to trust us at this point. It's actions like these that make people question our spending decisions and need for their valuable tax dollars.
Jennifer Brayer, who often joins Charles Baer in his opposition.
Everyone comes up and talks about how council doesn't follow through. Council doesn't follow through. Well, we can't. How can we? When we don't even know. Like, they think we know something. We don't know anything. And that's just a completely unfair position for us. And it's an unfair position for us to move this money along to the port.
This, I don't know anything, we don't know anything. I mean, that's been a long-standing complaint about council since the strong mayor former government came in. They complained that Ashton Hayward didn't keep them informed. They didn't complain as much that Grover didn't keep them informed, but now we're complaining again that D.C. doesn't keep them informed. Sometimes it turns out those complaints are just false, like with the whole issue of the rebranding, but that's a conversation for a different day. But in this case, obviously the administration had a lot of challenges over the course of time, going back to, you know, Grover Robinson and not just under D.C., but we'll get to that in a second, because what I always want to do, we talked about this yesterday, I always want to wait and hear the other side, you know, give me more information, tell me what's going on, make it make sense to me. Because when you just start from the assumption that we are incompetent, we are hiding things, and we, you know, hate the poor and want to help the wealthy, I mean, it seems unlikely to me. But let's wait and see. Is there a better explanation? PJ's got traffic on the fives first. PJ?
There is a vehicle crash in Santa Rosa County, State Road 87 and State Road 4 in J. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Okay, so Amy Miller, Deputy City Administrator, is explaining that, first of all, the port damage is still Sally damage. It is still damage from the storm.
Certainly this road and rail project, the reason that it is funded through a CDBG Disaster Recovery Infrastructure Fund pot of money is because it was severely damaged by Hurricane Sally.
Okay, so it's relevant damage. That's the first part to understand. Second part.
Unfortunately, we had some significant staff turnover in our housing department during that period of time. And the subject matter expert that we had, who was familiar with this program and familiar with implementing these kinds of funds, left the city of Pensacola before that plan was ever submitted and ever approved by CDBG and ever approved by HUD. So we realistically never got off first base.
So even though people were expecting to be taken care of, and even though public officials like city council members were promising people they'd be taken care of, behind the scenes, the actual operation of making that happen never really even started, largely due to a personnel loss.
So then we started to try to regroup. We started to look at, do we have other subject matter expertise in our housing department that can handle this program? Do we have the capacity? Do we have enough staff in our housing department to handle this program? And in the process of kind of trying to regroup, refigure out how we could deliver this program to the community, our housing director took a job out of state and left.
Oh, no.
At that point, we realistically did not have the staff expertise or the staff capacity to move this program forward.
Okay, so major staff turnover, delay. Another major staff turnover, delay. And then the discovery that the expectation that the time limit on getting these funds applied to housing was not going to be renewed means that we're up against a deadline we didn't expect to get, and we just didn't, the city didn't think it was going to be possible to go through all the hoops and prove all of the things that needed to be proved in order to get the funds assessed and so applied, and so then you just lose the money. Well, instead of that, which that's the where the Department of Commerce had contacted the city and said, hey, here's the problem. The city said, well, we'd rather not lose the money. Let's apply it to a different Sally damage project, which we can definitely take care of in time. And yeah, this sucks for the homeowners who were expecting it, but nobody did it on purpose.
That's when we really began looking at whether we would be able to meet any of these timelines or not. That's when we, when CDBG and Department of Commerce contacted us and said and started saying, we have serious doubts whether you can start from that budget implementation plan requirement and get all the way through that to award of projects and completion of projects before the funding deadline expires.
So the city is faced with a decision. Do we keep pursuing something that CDBG and Commerce don't think we can accomplish in time and therefore just lose the money? Or do we switch it to something we can get done in time? Well, the take on that by the socialists is you're funding the wealthy port and you're not funding us, even though the port employs an awful lot of ordinary people. This has nothing to do with American magic. It's a completely different slice of the port. But, you know, all the port, it looks like it's all the same thing. And Jen Brer says,
but at this moment in time, do we not pause and give an opportunity for at least something and come back in a month? And look, I don't know how you get away from the optics that the port is about now American magic and a millionaire's club. That's what the comments are out there. That's what everyone's talking about. We're taking it from a, for potentially, and anyone who was there last week, that's exactly what it felt like. It's very high end. I'm not saying that it won't do us good. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's going from extremes, from helping the people to the New York Yacht Club and being able to finish up that port for something.
Okay, she's right. The event was very hoity-toity. It was. I was there. There's a lot of very wealthy people involved, including the DeVos family, who, of course, are billionaires. But the way you get around the optics is by explaining that this port, this rail and road project, has nothing to do with American magic. It's for a different set of operations on the port that need this repair to be done. Those operations are very important to all kinds of jobs in our community, like at GE Vernova and Blue Wind and C-Max. And so just because it happens to be at the port and that's being manipulated to play into this wealthy people versus poor people bias, well, your job as a public official is to explain that distinction and tell people, hey, you're just wrong. And also, we tried real hard to do this. The county was successful. We were not. A lot of reasons we've explained. We just don't want to lose the money. And if we keep pushing down the road of trying to help these people, which we wish we could have, and we have done other things to help them, but we're just going to lose the money, we think. And that's unacceptable.
Just to reference the political grandstanding of saying that the court is now about American magic. It's my time. So what I would say is I would request, Amy, can you give a brief of the since what it's now being called that it's only for American magic. Number one, specificity about what these dollars are being attributed to, as well as at least just a quick brief overview of the several organizations and job counts, or if Shep needs to come and do that, he can.
Yeah, I would defer to port staff, and they're prepared to answer that question, I believe.
And so Shep Coggins goes through a long explanation of how this has nothing to do with that. It doesn't do anything related to American magic. The timeline proves that. The nature of the repairs prove that. The fact that it's CMEX proves that. And so it really isn't anything related to that. So the optics are based on a mistake. So Jen Brer comes back and says,
I'm going to clarify. I was talking about optics. That we immediately moved this money. I'm talking about optics. And that is the thing that we can't blame the citizens and put it off on them that they've got it wrong. They're the ones who don't understand when we continually are less than clear with optics. And that's what I'm talking about here.
But you can take this opportunity with the information you have and say, y'all are mistaken. This isn't taking from the poor and giving to the rich. This is taking money that will otherwise be lost and using it for a project that benefits the whole community. And we're also going to keep trying to work on housing. I mean, you can only claim the optics card for so long. But I also get where she's coming from. you know, she and Charles Baer and some of the others feel frustrated, like maybe the city could have done more. Maybe the city could have kept people more informed. Sometimes they're not as disclosing about the particulars of what had caused this problem. You know, in a prior meeting, Amy Miller had basically kind of said, well, it's a personnel matter. She didn't want to get into it. I mean, sometimes you just have to say the ugly stuff out loud so that people hear the explanation and will trust you. Now, some people won't trust you no matter how many times you explain it, but that's what you have to do every once in a while. You just have to say, hey, here's how we got here. This sucks, and try to keep people more informed as we go along. And in this case, we're talking about years, of course, since, you know, Sally in 2020.
I don't want to give any presumption that we haven't asked about that, or that if we thought tomorrow that these dollars could be revived for this use, that we wouldn't do it. I didn't want there to be any false hope that if there was a workshop that we could magically do that because it was a preference thing from the administration. If we could revive these dollars, we absolutely would. So if there's something that can come out of that conversation that could pull that off, that's great. I was just simply forewarning that we have had those conversations with Board of Commerce.
Because what the city council wanted to do now, Allison Patton, is, well, I mean, can we not just get together and have a meeting and figure out a solution? And what DC is saying is, we have been trying really hard. We have been trying to figure out a solution, and nothing has been forthcoming. But in the end, even though originally they voted to reassign the funding, DeLarian Wiggins switched his vote, kind of said, I pressed the wrong button. They came back and voted to delay, and they're going to have a meeting and talk about this and see if they can come up with a solution. And hopefully, fingers crossed, in the process, they don't run up against a timeline that totally loses the money. If it gets applied to housing, great. If it can't be, and then it gets applied to the port, also good, maybe not as good, but better than losing the money entirely. So that's kind of that whole story arc. And, you know, you've got to explain things to people. I agree. But also, when the explanation is forthcoming, you can't keep saying, well, you just didn't do a good job of explaining it, and it looks bad. If it looks bad, explain it. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. No delays on Pine Forest. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's a tale of Linda trying to lose weight, but the med prices she found were all over the place.
Hidden fees and markups made her jaw drop low. Then she found GoodRx. Now she's in the know.
GLP-1 prescriptions FDA approved.
With clear upfront pricing.
And same-day pickup.
That's GoodRx, the no-nonsense way. Save time and money on prescriptions.
Get to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mr. Randy Watson. Yes, Randy Watson.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
Good and terrible. 627 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality vehicles. Cars that are a year to two or three, maybe 4 years young. You're going to be the second owner, maybe the third owner. They go to, you know, corporate leases. Sometimes people trade in, whatever. But like our car that we bought there several years ago, our Honda Odyssey, when we were looking to replace the Grand Caravan we bought when our first boy was born. And we'd had for a long time because that's how we do cars, you know, put 100, 200, 300,000 miles on a car. That's how we do it. This car was out in some, it was on a lease. It came back to the dealership in Orlando. They had a very strict policy that it either gets sold in 90 days or it goes to auction. Went to auction. Frontier Motors went and bought it. And we got a smoking deal on a year-old car that had 12,000 miles on it and was in perfect shape. And we weren't even trying to buy a car. We were just trying to test drive that year model because, you know, the next year things change and, you know, we don't buy brand new things. Like when they change the year model, we don't do that. The generation, basically. We couldn't test drive one of the used ones because the way Honda works is they won't let you test drive it until they clean it up and it's pre-owned certified, and all the pre-owned certifieds were like pre-bought by people who knew they wanted to buy an Odyssey. It was a weird gap, okay? But Frontier had one and we drove it and we loved it. And we bought it because it was the right price and it was exactly the car we were looking for. It's that easy. They want to be helpful to you with great quality used cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine says he and other state officials are now preparing for a possible ICE enforcement surge as Haitians lose temporary protected status in coming days. That would include several thousand Haitians in Ohio. DeWine asking everybody there to follow the law and respect the rights of protesters. NASA says all of its crew members are safe. This is after a research plane made a fiery landing at an airport in Texas. A video shows flames shooting out of the back of a plane as it made an emergency landing in Houston yesterday. A NASA spokesperson said the landing gear had a mechanical failure and the plane had to land on its belly. Basketball star Caitlin Clark now adding broadcaster to her resume. She'll be joining NBC as a special contributor for its NBA coverage. Clark makes her debut Sunday on NBC's Basketball Night in America.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, happy birthday to the Coast Guard. And this is kind of a weird one because, as I understand it, the Coast Guard has like two birthdays, and there's some dispute in the community about which one you should really celebrate. The alternate birthday is 1790, August 4th, so that's much older, obviously. The birthday of the act of the U.S. Congress creating the Coast Guard as a branch of the armed forces, 1915, so I'm going to go with 111 years young, but I know there's a little bit of disagreement about this. Also, Elvis made his first appearance on national TV in 1956, this day in history. And I have tickets for you if you want to go to the Senior Bowl this Saturday. Be caller number two right now, 437-1620. All right, obviously, Fox News is having a little bit of an issue. We'll just go to David Wayne in the newsroom. David?
Well, good morning. It is 6:31 here at News Radio 92.3. Bit of a chilly start to our morning. 31 degrees right now. We've got clear skies. Of course, our full forecast is on the way in just a couple of minutes. We'll get that with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. Turning to our local news headlines this hour, Escambia County could be a bit closer to getting $3 million in federal funding for the South Navy Boulevard Improvement Project. The U.S. House has approved that money, but it would still need Senate approval. The more than $10 million project covers the last mile of South Navy Boulevard from Gulf Beach Highway to NAS Pensacola. Plans include a turnaround feature at the bridge where security turns away several cars a day. The project would also call for a park, bike lanes, and pedestrian paths. District 2 Commissioner Mike Kohler does say everything's tracking well, unless plans could potentially be delayed by a government shutdown. Well, Century residents are going to see their trash bills jump up more than $10 a month in February. The town switching from Republic Services to Waste Pro after about 30 years. Their new rate is $37.91, which is up from $27.44. Century Town resident Marion Brown says that increase is really going to hurt people on fixed incomes.
Yes, it's going to be hard.
Town administrator Dave Merzen says their town council needed to review their contracts, which hadn't been looked at really since all the way back in 2014. Waste Pro will be providing new cans sometime next month. Green cans with blue lids for garbage pickup on Fridays, black lids for yard waste on Tuesdays. Well, a new arrest report revealing some details about a Pensacola youth director that's been accused of sexually battering a teenage girl enrolled in his youth program. 57-year-old Rodney Jones is accused of assaulting a victim as she was completing probation requirements in the Hoops program. The girl told police that Jones had initially made inappropriate comments, then the encounters escalated to a sexual nature several times in a year. She said Jones had also paid her over $2,000 and bought her a cell phone. The victim told police she was afraid to stop because Jones could violate her probation. After she reported the allegations to police, Jones allegedly contacted her. asking what she told law enforcement. Jones has been arrested and released on $250,000 bond. The Escambia Children's Trust has suspended funding for that program. Well, Florida lawmakers are taking up a campus safety bill that would expand how colleges respond to active shooter situations. Bill sponsor State Representative Michelle Salzman says House Bill 757 allows certain trained school employees to act as armed guardians if violence erupts on campus.
Institutions would identify criteria for eligible faculty and staff only and where they could carry a firearm concealed as a guardian.
The bill comes after last year's shooting at Florida State University. It would also stiffen penalties for anybody who fires a weapon within 1,000 feet of a school, charging offenders with a felony and holding them without bond. It is 6:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Again, we've got a bit of a cold start to our day, 31 and clear right now. Let's get a quick check here on our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Not seeing any delays on Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And now getting a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
We are going to be looking at a very cold morning with temperatures warming up this afternoon near 51 degrees, sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 30 degrees. Heading into Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 54. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 42. As you head into Friday, partly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of a stray shower, high near 57. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 24. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is again a chilly start to the day, 31 degrees, clear skies right now. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Amazon is laying off about 16,000 corporate workers in its latest push to reduce bureaucracy. It marks the second round of mass job cuts at the company since last October. A day earlier, some employees in Amazon's cloud unit received an email sent in apparent error acknowledging organizational changes at the company. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports that the average contract interest rate for a 30-year mortgage increased to 6.24% from 6.16% last week. Applications to refinance a home loan dropped 16% for the week. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home were essentially flat. Shares of ASML and SK Hynix, two semiconductor heavyweights, pushed higher this morning after they reported strong earnings. Reuters reported that China has approved sales of NVIDIA's H200 chips, sending the AI chip giant shares higher in pre-market trading. Share futures are moderately higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 408. That's your money now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're already listening.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
So you might as well stay smart all day.
It's the Pensacola Morning News.
From Pensacola Morning News in the morning to Pep Talk with Meg in mid-morning, NVR late morning to afternoon, you do it from 2 to 4, and Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin through your drive home. News that moves with you all day long.
All day long.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And joining us on the phone, we have Bruce Woody. He is the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. Bruce, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing this morning?
Great to have you. And listen, I am aware, listeners, y'all, I am aware that there is an echo of my voice on his end. We tried to fix it. We don't know why, but I figured it wasn't too distracting, but I don't want you to sit there thinking about it through the whole interview and not realize that we're aware of it, so I'm sorry for that. Bruce, you guys are involved in a big project fixing or providing reuse water to the beach, but that means that there's a lot of construction going on Via de Luna coming off the Bob Sykes Bridge, and people might be worried about the timeline and spring break. How are we looking on this project?
Very well. The project is actually a little bit ahead of schedule, and we absolutely will be done before the spring break event. We're doing two things, actually. We're extending the reuse line that we've been working on through a couple different phases and making it all the way to that series of tanks that you see right off of the south side of the Bob Sykes Bridge. And when that gets connected, and we're also extending a potable water line from that location up to the intersection, so we have some redundancy through that corridor. So both those projects will be done by the first part of March. So we're pleased with the progress and look forward to, after the next phase, being able to sell reuse water to hotels and other folks along that immediate corridor to use for irrigation.
Well, hey, look, it's a good project. We're glad you're doing it. Obviously, I know people would start to get worried about the timeline, but the fact that we're ahead of schedule, maybe, you know, government entities don't always get to make that announcement, but this time we do, and, you know, I love hearing that. Speaking of other projects that are, you know, very kind of, you know, people have a lot of apprehension about because of the timeline and the way it's impacting their businesses and activities, Reimagine Palafox. We've been doing this now for a couple of weeks. You guys are involved in this project. What is ECUA doing on Palafox, and how's the work going?
Very pleased to be working closely with the city of Pensacola on this very important project. They were kind enough to let us expand the scope a little bit. Originally, they were going to relocate 800 linear feet of our water line due to conflicts with improvements that they're making to the storm sewer system. We believed it only made sense while the roadway pavement was open to actually replace the entirety of our 2,000 linear feet of water line in that corridor from Garden all the way down to Main Street. The project, so we're investing about $535,000 in labor and about $300,000 in pipe and materials to replace that in the main line, as well as all of the services. Pleased to say that right off the bat, we started with the contract started with two crews, and we've already knocked out the first block from Government down to Romana, and the most southern block from Main Street up to Zaragoza. Now we're just working on the center section, so we're out of the way of those first two blocks already. We're making pretty good progress, and I think everybody's pretty pleased with the progress overall, both the city's work as well as ECUA's work.
You know, you do have to start to get a little concerned when you go 2 for 2 on being ahead of schedule on major infrastructure projects, right? Bruce, it's, you know, like, don't test your luck too much. But no, that's great. I see.
We're trying.
And I love that. I love that ECUA found the opportunity to work there. And, you know, what a lot of people may not realize, and I've tried to explain it a bunch, but still, you know, people may not realize, is one of the key parts of the Palafox redesign is to implement a massive improvement in the stormwater management by grading the street, aiming it towards new underground, facilitation. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there, but the idea is it's designed to take water off the street and move it out of the way. And what you're saying is that the original design conflicted with our existing water lines, but ECUA put in new water lines instead of relocating them, right? Which is great. I mean, you know, sounds wonderful. Everybody's working together. I like to hear that.
Yeah, it was a great, great project. Very much appreciate the ability that Mayor Reeves gave us, and love working with the City of Pensacola staff, their city engineer, Brad Highnote, and really doing great work out there.
Excellent. The third thing you guys dealt with yesterday in your meeting, in Rarity Point, there's a groundwater tank, which is the norm now, right? Not so much to build tanks up in the air, it's to build them on the ground instead of using gravity, using a pump. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It is more common, largely because the ones in the air have anywhere from 500,000 to 1 million gallons, usually, occasionally 1.5 million. But all of our ground storage tanks are generally anywhere from 3 to 5 million gallons, so we can store vastly increased volumes of water for fire protection as well as Great. Dealing with peak demand times.
Excellent. But the one on Inverary Point is it's a renovation or it's an installment. Tell me what's going on here. And you've got a kind of a neat announcement too, right?
Yeah, yeah. On all of our tanks, whether they're elevated tanks or ground storage tanks, they all require maintenance periodically. For the elevated ones, about every 15 years, we'll repaint those about a little over $1 million a piece. And then the ground storage concrete tanks, we have to renew the coatings of those periodically as well. We had scheduled to do the one on Inverary Point, and it was brought to our attention that we could have a good opportunity for a mural there. We worked with some folks in the community, and just last night we reviewed bids that were very, very favorable and chose to put a mural on that tank.
Excellent. You know me, I'm a huge fan of public art. I'm a huge fan, especially of water towers having art on them. So I'm excited about this. Bruce, hang on for just a second, because I have a couple of follow-up questions. We're talking to Bruce Woody with ECUA. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up to about East Palmetto Avenue right now. Taking a look at the big board. We also have a hit-and-run crash at Johnson Avenue right near Palafox. No road block. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the executive director for the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA, Bruce Woody. Bruce, you know, you actually came here, and it wasn't long after you came here first time that we got into the whole discussion about restoring the Blue Angels tank by PPD off of 110. Of course, I was very passionate about making sure that we had Blue Angels icons on there, and because I love that. But also, I just think that, you know, blank water tanks to me are a missed opportunity. And no offense to your ECUA logo, but a ECUA logo is a blank water tank. You know, it's not beautiful. I like the dolphins out on the beach are cool. So what's going to happen on the one on Inverary Point? What are you guys going to put on there?
Yeah, the Inverary Point, we have a design that's going to go all the way around the entire tank. There are going to be three bands of color. The lowest band represents sand. It'll be kind of a wavy in shape. The band above that will be very light colored, and it will represent water line. Then there'll be a third band above that that will represent the horizon, the sky. On the foreground, then on those bands, there'll be a sunset with ripples on the water. There will also be a set of palm trees. There will also be a set of sea oats. And most prominently will be a outline image of Fred the Blue Heron.
Oh, I love it! Hey, can you send me the copy of the proofs because I want to publish it. I'm excited. I love art, yeah. And I'm so excited. At first, when you're like, they went with three bands of color, and then you started talking about the foreground. I'm like, oh, okay, good. There's other stuff. So yeah. I love that. That's outstanding. Well, very good. When is that project going to start?
They just approved the contract last night, so we'll issue a notice to proceed here shortly. It'll be done this spring, probably in the next 90 days.
Outstanding. Very good. And, you know, I assume that the board's general disposition now is anytime we need to do one of these repaintings on any of our water towers, we're going to do our best to find something like that to do with them because, I mean, people love it when they see it. They love these things, right?
Yes. Our only preference certainly is that it be neutral in terms of what it promotes. It needs to promote the community,
sure.
Creating a sense of place, those types of intents.
Outstanding. Very good. Well, Bruce, thanks for all good news today. I love that. So thanks so much for the time. Yeah. Thanks for doing what you do to keep. I mean, I drink water because of the work that you do, and I'm able to flush toilets because of the work that you do, and I'm able to take out the trash and the recycling because of the work that you do. It's very – oh, and by the way, I know I told you before when this happened, but I'll tell you again. We had a crew come by and pick up, you know, yard debris from us, and they were fantastic, as they always are. So your folks do a really, really good job. Bruce Woody is the executive director for ECUA. As always, Bruce, thanks for the time. We'll talk talk to you again next month.
Yeah, thanks for the kind words, Andrew. Always enjoy talking to you.
Excellent. 6:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about buying a house or selling a house or doing both, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are very good at this. And, you know, even if you're thinking about buying a new house, you might think to yourself, well, why would I need a realtor for a new house? You just go to the builder. Okay, I mean, sure, you know, yes, you can do that. But the thing about having a realtor is that the realtor knows the industry, can work with them on price. You know, sometimes they can, in this market, they can get prices down because sometimes people have more inventory than they'd love to be able to sell. Also, she'll help you with all of the details, getting the deal done. Having somebody that the really, really knows what they're doing is something that even the builders can like. But also, when you take possession, she will make sure that it's right for you. She likes to call herself the blue tape queen because, you know, when you buy a home, you don't necessarily know what's right, what's wrong. You think to yourself, well, can I complain about that? And the answer is yes, you absolutely can. You are getting a new house. You deserve to get a new house with, you know, no flaws. And so she'll make sure that, and these are all like sort of little things maybe, but it's why even when you're buying a new house, it's useful to have a realtor. Obviously, when selling a house, having a realtor is vital. And, you know, she and her team sold 200 homes last year. That's a lot for a week. That's a lot of experience and expertise. Give them a call and help find out why they do so well. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, graveled roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Here on the Gulf Coast, barbecue's got soul. Voodoo Barbecue brings that New Orleans flavor to Pensacola. Slow smoked meats, bold spices, and recipes that don't rush a good thing. Voodoo Barbecue is locally owned, locally staffed, and serves barbecue the way it's meant to be. Low and slow, Cajun style, fall off the bone ribs, pulled pork packed with flavor, the way barbecue is meant to taste, oh yeah. Plus sides with that New Orleans flair. Voodoo Barbecue, a 9 mile road in the Target Shopping Center. Online at voodoobbq.com. Get your mm-mms ready and come taste the magic.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
There's a parade somewhere
you probably want to know about.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
It's the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Look at all the lovely people. Look at all the lovely people.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been.
What do you do when you got to start a segment and you got to sneeze all at the same time? In my life as a talk show host, I've never figured out a good answer to that question. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. By the way, the sneeze is still waiting, so could happen at any moment. I'm warning you. And I sneeze like I'm demolishing a house. So my wife is always trying to get me to sneeze less loudly. And the other day, we were at Walmart or something, and, I don't know. She was in one part of the store, and I was in another part of the store. And then later on the way home, she's like, I knew where you were in the store even when we were separate. I'm like, how? And she's like, because you sneezed. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. A man is being charged with third-degree assault after spraying an unknown substance on Congresswoman Ilhan Omar during a town hall in Minneapolis. Omar had just called for Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem to resign on Tuesday when a man in attendance lunged at her and squirted something from a syringe before he was removed.
Absolutely terrible. Can I point of order on something, David, that has nothing to do with this story per se, but you make me think of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so he's being charged with, what'd you say, battery in the third degree?
Assault.
Assault in the third degree. Yeah. Okay, so assault in the third degree is worse or better than assault in the first degree? Like, which one gets you
mean, worse or
which one gets you a bigger sentence if you're convicted? First degree or third degree?
First degree.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, same with homicide, you know, murder in the first degree versus murder in the third degree, right? Okay, if you're cooking on the stove and you burn yourself and you get a first degree burn, it's red skin, second degree blisters, third degree charred, right?
Right, yeah.
So third degree is worse.
Yes.
Okay. So in one reference, third degree is the bad one. And in another reference, the legal context, third degree is the not so bad one. And to make matters worse, if you have a subject who is accused of, say, murder in the first degree, and you go and interrogate him real heavily, you would say that you're giving him the third degree about the first degree. English is hazing, people. Okay, David, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, they've always said English is the most confusing language.
It's the worst language.
Meta and YouTube are in court, Andrew. They're in court over claims that they have deliberately created addictive products to harm young users. Snap and TikTok have already settled out of court with the key plaintiff in the case. And NASA says its crew members are all safe after a research plane had to make a fiery emergency landing on its belly at an airport in Houston. There's a video online that shows flames shooting out of the back of the plane. NASA says that apparently it was a landing gear malfunction.
Yeah, pretty wild. I've seen that video. But I'm glad people are safe. That's the good news. All right, David, thanks so much for the update and for indulging me. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
The front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Palmetto Avenue. Also looking at the big board, we have a hit-and-run crash East Johnson Avenue right near Palafox. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Category 1 hurricane is, in the scheme of things, good or bad compared to a Category 5 hurricane? PJ?
Bad.
Bet. What? Which one's worse, a 5 or a 1?
Oh, 5.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, same for tornadoes, right?
Yes.
Okay, but if we are threatened by a foreign adversary and they change the alert level at NORAD, level 1 is the worst or the best?
I think 5 is the worst, isn't it?
No, it's the other way around. 5 or all the time 5. It goes from being... English is hazing! I mean, English is hazing. It just is. High scores, low scores, high temperatures, low temperatures, just all of it is terrible. Anyways, you know, some of this stuff you don't realize until you try to raise kids, and then, you know, they say, but I thought the rule was, you're like, well, son, you just have to memorize this one. Well, Dad, it seems like we do an awful lot of memorizing, and these rules don't make sense. Welcome to the language. Let's see, 657 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, I had not gotten into this story a whole lot with you on the air. I don't even know if I mentioned it. It's so much stuff that we don't even get to. I apologize. I don't know if you heard, or maybe, that there's a historic house in Virginia where the Trump administration has removed the references to the fact that, like, George Washington was a slave owner and that there were slaves in the area, because that's incompatible with his vision of America as a place where nothing bad has ever happened. Which, of course, I think that you, A, tell your history, tell it accurately, including the ugly spots, because if you don't tell the ugly spots, then you can't talk about how we've gotten better since the ugly spots, for one thing. But also, you know, just telling the truth instead of saying, well, I don't know, the Ministry of Truth is going to come along and scrub all the things from the past. Well, now it's gotten worse. Now we have multiple different national parks where they are actively removing signs that say things that the Trump administration has decided are not compatible with the vision of America, including references to exploited land, pushing tribes off their land, like at Grand Canyon National Park. There's also some stuff on climate change that's being removed. And to some degree, I would tend to at least support that, maybe. But at Montana's Glacier National Park, you have, you know, clearly receding glacial lines, and people ask all the time, and so they actually installed signs as education about how warming is the explanation for that. Now, is it man-made? Is it not man-made? Can it be solved through, you know, economic or political change? Well, those things are up for discussion, but, you know, that's also being wiped away. Things that have to do with fossils, geology, good Lord, stop. You know, you remember when we said don't change the names on things because changing the names on things for political reasons is inappropriate? And then the Trump administration was on that bandwagon until it came in and started changing all of the names, like of the Gulf, or removing signs that indicate history that is inconvenient to them.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.